Our Old Testament reading today is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 65, starting at verse 17. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy, and its people as a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered a curse. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build another inhabit, and they shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, or bear children for calamity. For they shall be offspring blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. But to the serpent its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Our epistle reading for today is 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 13. Now we command you, beloved, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to keep away from believers who are living in idleness and not according to the tradition that they received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you, and we did not eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with toil and labor we worked night and day so that we might not burden any of you. This was not because we do not have that right, but in order to give you an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this command: anyone unwilling to work should not eat. For we hear that some of you are living in idleness, mere busybodies, not doing any work. Now such persons we command and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Brothers and sisters, do not be weary in doing what is right. And our gospel reading for today is from the book of Luke, chapter 21, verses 5 through 19. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, he said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'The time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed, even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head shall perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls."
It's good to be here. Get rid of all these extra books. Oops, there we go. This is not the sermon I just preached a couple hours ago. This is a sermon about today's scripture. And I'm looking particularly at the book of Isaiah. It's actually a scroll, multiple scrolls all sewn together. But through its entirety, the whole prophecy of all of Isaiah is about hope. Isaiah tells the people that God's going to destroy them because of their sin and their lack of faithfulness, and yet God is also at the same time providing hope that they could turn from their ways. But in this particular part of Isaiah, we are looking at his end times, his prophecy for the end. It's kind of hard to imagine, at least for me, because it seems that though I love science and I love fact-based instant messaging, our world ends up kind of stripped of its mystery. Remember back when you were a kid? Remember the things that had no concrete fact? They were just wonder and awe? Like how those clouds came to be up in the sky. And how come some of them look like rabbits or giraffes or elephants, and others look like cotton balls? Now, I like the science of weather, and I like studying it, but it's kind of sad to think that the wonder and mystery of it is gone. Isaiah is inviting us to stop focusing on our human capacity for knowledge and to contemplate the capacities of God. God creates. We all know that. However, Isaiah reminds us that God creates on an unimaginable scale. New heavens, new earth. There is nothing in all of creation or in all that we imagine beyond creation that is beyond the capacity of God to change. For those of us who might be mired in regret or loss or sin, for those who are grounded down by oppression, those who struggle with the pain of living, whether it be physical living in bondage or the physical pain of disease, Isaiah offers an amazing message of hope. Nothing is final. Everything is up for grabs in the mystery of the creative capacity of God. If we look back historically, especially through the Judeo-Christian faith, we find a God who over and over again emerges, even in the bleakest hours of human history, to create new. These words of Isaiah are remembered and beloved by individuals and communities, whether they be Jewish or Christian, for they fit all seasons of our human journey. No matter the circumstance, it helps to remember that God has the capacity to create new heaven and new earth. But Isaiah goes on to tell us that not only will there be this new creation, but also that the former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. When I was little, the message I received about forgiveness was you had to forgive and forget. But then when I was healing through the traumas of a sexual assault, an attempted sexual assault, Forgiveness was one thing, forgetting was another thing, right? There are things you have to remember. When I work with people who grow up in abusive households, there are things that you just don't forget. As a history major, one of the sayings almost every professor I ever had was, you have to know your history, otherwise you are doomed to repeat it. Over and over again, the cycle of humanity, civilizations show that. When we forget the warning signs, when we forget history, we do it over and over again. That's on a macro scale, but also on a micro scale within our own lives. The patterns are entrenched. Some of the work I do is to help people learn to have new patterns, to try and let go of that default memory. And yet here's Isaiah saying, God's going to erase these memories. Well, that's wonderful. But then again, it's kind of scary. When I had my surgery the end of July, along with all the stuff they had to pump into my body to help me sleep deeply for 3 hours so that I wouldn't know what I was going through or being put through, they also give you something that helps you not remember. Because otherwise the body carries the trauma and the healing becomes more difficult. Isaiah is telling the people of Israel, and through the blessing of his scrolls, us, that there will be almost, if you want to call it, a holy amnesia that's a gift from God. Maybe some of the memories that will be forgotten are best to be forgotten so that we really can start anew. But I don't know. Maybe there's some good stuff we need to carry forward. The stuff that God gives us with. And yet, if God needs us to know, and if God has the capacity to make new out of nothing, then maybe it's about trusting God to give us what we need to remember. For people who are oppressed, who have less than, who are seen as less than, who struggle to find whether they have any power or voice in this world, Isaiah's passage is one of power and hope, an opportunity for salvation and new life. But Isaiah is not talking just to the individual here or there, or next year or last year, or the families that get blessings versus the families that don't. Isaiah is talking to all of creation, to the whole world, to the whole universe. God's joy is in creating new, in changing the heaven and earth that currently is, because it's so filled with brokenness and pain and toxicity and oppression and evil and injustice. That there will come a day when God chooses to eliminate that and create all brand new. The imagery he uses is a beautiful city, a holy place, an amazing temple. Jerusalem is the metaphor, but all human communities everywhere, especially those that have turned away from God, those that have turned away from love of neighbor, those that have turned away from justice for everyone, those too will be replaced. There will be new. hard for us as finite, created people filled with brokenness and sin to imagine the capacity to make all of that new. Sometimes, perhaps, we fear the end times. We fear how God will remember, that God might remember what we have done or what we have failed to do. And yet, in spite of all that, in spite of the unfaithfulness that we have towards God, in spite of the ways that we do not work for God's purpose, Isaiah declares that God will rejoice and delight in God's people, in the holy and in the ruined, that human sin is no match for God's joy. No more shall weeping be heard in Jerusalem, or the cry of distress. Have you ever tried to imagine what that would look like? Have you? Where no one weeps? Where people do not die before they have lived out a lifetime? Where no one goes without? How would such a community choose to spend its valuable resources? How would the common good be embraced when all people have the opportunity to live in the fullness of time? Think about it. Plenty of good water, more than enough food. Everyone gets education, health care, safe neighborhoods. People don't have to go to school and worry about being shot dead at the age of 14. What if all these human good possibilities are there, not just as a pipe dream? Not just something for social idealists. But what if that is the will and future of God? Wow. Can we even imagine living in such a place? Throughout Isaiah, economic justice is present. Hope and economic justice. If Isaiah was a prophet today, he probably would have a PhD in economy. He's very worried about the imbalance and those who are left out. He sees that labor should not be done for the rich and the few, but all should labor. That the land is God's gift to all people. That all join in the work of building and planting. That all inhabit the dwellings and eat the fruits of their labor. For Isaiah to labor in vain and not to see an escape for one's children is the scourge of exile and captivity. And that's why he's so passionately warning those who are less than faithful to God to turn around. To do it differently. To become faithful to God and to start living into God's vision for all of humanity. For Isaiah, the human community is created for the joy of God. God rejoices in and blesses the lives of justice with prosperity. Sustaining such a true community is deep and hard. and it requires an active relationship with God. To be so close to God that before the words are out of our mouths, they are in the ear of God. To listen and to know through the warming of your heart or the burden of your mind what is the will of God, and to find the Spirit in you and the energy to step forward and do that. That's what Isaiah hopes for all people. There is an amazing mystery in creation. And God is the creator. God can make a new heaven and a new earth. And in God's time, that will happen. Most of us, I imagine, I hope, are like my own life, slogging through complicated and difficult days. Sometimes finding it impossible to move beyond an understanding of the world as a survival of the fittest kind of place. Seeing scarcity and hoping for abundance. Trying to let go of just surviving in order to embrace a thriving life. That is what we see. And that is what we fear we will always be up against. Through the prophet Isaiah, God is inviting us to imagine a world of tenderness, a world of plenty. A world of God that is peaceful and mysterious. A reality that is fully within God's capacity to create. A world that is not reliant upon us to make possible. This time of our liturgical year or lectionaries are all focused on the reign of Christ, that is next Sunday, the time when we celebrate that Jesus Christ is in charge of God's kingdom on this earth and he has reign over it and can make all things happen through God's word and spirit. May we know that. May we believe on it. May we see its reality in our lifetime.